Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 467, Halo Online Announced, recorded live on March 26th, 2015. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And we are back with another episode that is not Halo 5 this time around. We got all that out of the way. We are now going to be talking about more Master Chief Collection stuff and some other Halo news, which it's been quite the round of news this week. I think we've seen a lot of interesting things come out. Of course, the Hunter Truth ARG is out and about now on Tumblr, so we're going to be covering that in an episode we're going to record tomorrow. We're going to be recording two or three episodes this week because there's just lots of content to talk about, and I can't remember the last time we actually recorded multiple shows per week. I think it was sometime last year during the probably one of the convention shows that we did. But we're going to be covering the Hunter Truth stuff in our next episode, but tonight we're going to be talking about Halo Online, which just got announced yesterday as of this recording, which is a free-to-play PC shooter that right now is closed beta in Russia, of all places. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. If you are on the live stream with us tonight, you will see that we're trying out video for the first time. So hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yes. If you guys listen to us via download, whether it be iTunes, Zoom, Stitcher, or any other RSS podcast aggregator, we record live on Twitch whenever we do our podcasts, or at least for most of them. And you can come on over and join the discussion, be part of the chat, help us during the podcast if we have questions or something where we go blank and we need help from the community. But it's a good place to kind of sit around and chat. We have some pretty lively chats sometimes and some really funky ones. But we encourage you guys to come over if you have the time on Thursday nights. If not, we appreciate you downloading the show, but let's get on to the main news for the night, which is Halo Online. So this is something that I think a lot of PC fans are both really excited for and cringing at the same time, because one, we're looking at Halo on PC again. Yay! The downside is right now it's only in Russia.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure the Russia thing out. Maybe they just want to distance themselves from the American population when it comes to that new stuff.
So from talking with some people or maybe seeing this somewhere, I don't remember which exactly. But so let's break down first what Halo Online is. And that kind of leads into kind of answering that. It's a free to play first-person shooter. It's a heavily modified Halo 3 game. So if you've seen the teaser, which got released today, You'll see in there that a lot of the stuff from Halo 3 is there, like the UI is there. You would have seen the map Guardian in the gameplay bits, and you would have seen all the similar weapons, grenades, not armor abilities, but the equipment was also in there. But you also see some new stuff in there as well. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But apparently the free-to-play games do a lot better over in the Eastern European market in terms of the kinds of games that are out there. So that's one of the reasons why, from either talking with somebody or seeing this somewhere, why they're targeting Russia as a point for this to launch as a beta. This doesn't mean that it's not going to be coming to the US in the future. I think a lot of people would actually like playing this game. Like for me personally, I would personally love it. But I wouldn't count the rest of the world out yet. Right now, it's just the closed beta that's launching in Russia. I have a sneaking suspicion this will come to the rest of the world eventually.
You know, with the popularity of that type of game in the, you know, in that region, I can see why they'd want to do a, you know, do the beta at that point or in that area.
Right. And the other thing too that I think someone just pointed out, a Jiggly Whale, he's asked if the devs were in Russia. I don't think, I'm not sure about Saber Interactive, but Innova Systems, who is one of the other companies that's working on Halo Online, I think they are, they're either based out of the UK or they're based out of Russia. I think it's Russia. And that might be one of the reasons why as well. And I see in the chat people are also verifying that free-to-play games are big in Russia. But I will caveat that and say that since they're part of our sister network, Critzcast is a podcast about TF2, which is also a free-to-play game. It didn't used to be. It used to be where you had to actually buy the game. But back in 2009 or 2010, somewhere in about there, Valve changed it to where TF2 was a free-to-play, and then they added the microtransactions in where you could buy the hats and the apparel that you could add to your character. So this kind of game is not uncommon in the U.S. It's something that I don't think a lot of people are, from a general gaming perspective on first-person shooters, I don't think a lot of people in the Western civilization are familiar with, except if you do play like TF2.
Or like Spartan Assault as well. It
has not a first-person shooter.
I understand. Shooter. But it has a lot of the same elements that they show in that video clip, where you earn in-game credit,
uh-huh,
or you can actually buy credit if you want. Yes, you do have to buy the game, but I can see a lot of the same things in the Spartan Assault and probably in Spartan Strike. Both of those games being a lot similar to the Halo Online, other than, they're top-down shooters instead of first-person shooters.
Yeah.
But from my experience from that, if they do release this in the United States, I will jump on it.
Yeah, I definitely will too. And I messaged one of the folks over at Critzcast and asked if they had heard about this, and they had not. So at one point, I want to get them back on here to talk about free-to-play systems and how that kind of works within kind of the Western world culture. So as far as the rest of the stuff about Halo Online goes, it's a closed beta that comes out in, they just said spring, so I'm assuming it's going to be here within the next month or two for Russia. And they have a Q&A up on Halo Waypoint. We posted the Q&A section on our website as well, so you can go check that out there. But if you want a little more info, it's all there. I think we covered most of it. One of the big things was that it is going to be in Russia for the beta. There's no definitive answer on whether or not it's not coming to the rest of the world. But I would assume with how big Halo is in other parts of the world that this would still be pushed out to places other than Russia. I would have to think.
Well, I'm sure it will come to the United States eventually, but it's just what the time frame is. Because in the U.S. market, they're going to be wanting to they're pushing the console games. That's where their bread and butter is in this region. So I don't see them bringing it to our market as a high priority. They're going to work on, they got Halo 5 coming out here in the fall, and whatever little projects they've got going as well. They still, they still need to release the Spartan Strike, which,
yeah,
kind of begin to wonder if it's going to show up now, but,
it'd be nice if that comes out at some point soon.
Yeah. But just looking at it and, I've watched the video 3 or 4 times, and it's nice that the video itself, where they're actually showing the game, is in English. And then, just the little spots are in Russian. So that makes it nice. So we can actually, see that stuff and, understand what the customization level is for your Spartans and stuff like that. So,
and there's a lot of stuff in there that we'd seen before. Of course, the armor customization we've seen in since Halo 3, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the weapon customization, which is very notional of a free-to-play game. So again, I'm going to be using the TF2 comparison, but for the weapons that you can get from the classes, you can actually buy the different weapons, and they're a little different for each weapon that you get. But those weapons are also drop stops in the game. So for TF2, what happens is you play for a certain amount of time and you'll get a prize drop, essentially. And that is usually in the form of a hat for TF2. But there is the occasion where if you unlock certain achievements, you'll get weapon drops. And all the weapons, at least, are obtainable through means by just playing. You don't have to buy them outright.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, and it looks like this is going to be a similar system for Halo Online, is you can either buy the gold credits, just judging from the trailer that we saw, you can buy those credits to unlock the weapon mods, or you can play in-game, and then the credits that you earn in-game you can use to unlock it. So I'm guessing that's going to be the kind of system that we'll see in there. And it works for TF2. I don't know how well it would work with Halo and the fan base that we have there, but I would definitely be willing to give it a try.
You know, as long as the game, you can accomplish what you want in the game without actually spending extra money,
mm-hmm.
I'm fine with it. You know, if yeah. people want to spend, you know, if they want to, you know, pay 343 for credits and so they can get the equipment faster or their armor faster, that's fine. As long as the game still remains balanced, you know, that you still, you're not locked out of having a BR. You just don't have the BR with the cool paint job.
Right.
You know, there's some weapons in there that we did not see in Halo 3. And one of them I could swear is a light rifle, just from the way the scope looks and the sound it makes. It sounded just like a light rifle.
Hmm. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it was there was a scene on Guardian. He was shooting towards a Spartan towards Gold Lift, and you can there. It's two or three shots, and it kind of looks like the Halo 5 reticle when you're zoomed in on the light rifle, except for you don't have the gun expand around you.
Right.
The sound in the reticle looks a lot like a light rifle. But anyway, you know, as long as you have access to the weapons as far as their power and you can get a balanced gameplay, I'm cool with it. If they want, you know, if people want to save their credits and get different skins, different armor, stuff like that, as long as it doesn't affect the actual balance of the game, I'm cool with it.
Right. Well, so another comparison that I've made this to also is Titanfall. So you have the base weapons that you unlock based on what level you're at, but then you can buy mods. So you can buy mods that will expand your ammo clip, one that will change your scope, one that increases accuracy or stability and all that stuff. And that's what it looks like this is going for. And I think a PC platform is, for Halo, a little bit better of an entry point because of how Halo is perceived on the console right now. We haven't had anything on the PC for Halo since Halo 2 Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect test ground for this kind of thing. And in the Q&A, they basically said they wanted to explore different ways of welcoming different fans to the Halo universe. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing this in Russia. So I'm personally excited to see where this goes. And even though we might not get a chance to play it in the spring, I'm hoping that we'll get to see gameplay online somewhere.
Definitely. Yeah, I hope that this goes over very well for them so that they will bring this, you know, bring the new engines onto the PC because, you know, we've all seen what they've done with Custom Edition. Imagine what they could do with the Halo 4 engine or even the Halo 5 engine.
Right.
It would totally blow my mind.
So one thing to note about Halo Online, since you mentioned it, is that Halo Online is a heavily modified version of the Halo 3 engine. And one of the things they point out is optimized for a smooth performance on lower end PCs. Now, if you know the tech rating of the Xbox 360, you know the graphics card isn't quite there in terms of today's standards. But if you think about a lot of the technology that's going into, say, laptops that you would buy from Dell or Acer or desktops that you get that are pre-built, a lot of those graphics cards would probably be comparable to what you see on the 360. So you'd actually be able to play Halo on a lot more systems. You wouldn't have to have a outrageously built computer to play Halo on.
my file server is just an old Acer desktop that I use. And, you know, it specs out actually better than a 360 would, as far as, you know, the amount of RAM and the video card.
Right.
So, and, you know, that was a $400 computer.
So this is going to be something I think a lot of people are going to latch on to, really, if this does go outside of Russia. Not to say that it won't do well in Russia, but I don't see 343 being under the guise of Microsoft not releasing this other places. And of course, this is probably all dependent on how well received it is in Russia. But I'd say they have a winner already, just judging from some of the stuff that I've seen in the video.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's amazing what they were able to do with that old of an engine to bring it into something that could be played on PC, because it was always the big question whether the Halo 3 engine could even be run on PCs reliably. Let's put it that way. You know, I've heard
so
talk back and forth on that.
Well, the thing about anything that's been made on the 360, I think this is right. Someone correct me in the stream if I'm wrong, but the 360 is an ARM architecture.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the processor. So it's not, you can't just directly port it to a PC that's running i5-86 architecture. So you have to translate the code, and going from ARM, which is usually designed to be more energy efficient, with a smaller instruction set, going to Intel, which is a lot more of a complex instruction set when this comes to processor, is, okay, Laird said PowerPC. So, yeah. The translating that up usually involves a little more horsepower going from a PowerPC or ARM architecture to an Intel architecture. And judging by what they're saying in the post is that they've modified it to where that conversion isn't going to be that drastic. So you can pull out your laptop that you have from 10 years ago and play this, possibly.
Hey, gives me a reason to keep that Dell I got sitting in my garage.
Gosh, I don't even know if I have an old computer. I've basically trimmed down all of my tech that I go through down to my parents. So a lot of the stuff I have is newer stuff. Yeah, whenever I buy a new computer, it's like, hey, you can have my old one because it's what you need. That's what you do, and I get all the good stuff.
I just send it to Brent.
That's true. So,
no, that wasn't old stuff, but anyway.
Well, the joke is still there. Anyways, the other thing to note for the lore folks out there, since I know we're going to get into the lore stuff, I promise, we're getting there. There it is on the schedule. Once everyone finishes, what's the book that just came out? Gosh.
Broken Circle?
No.
Oh.
The digital book.
Oh,
the one
I had
with
it.
Buck. I'm failing right now. I am super hard failing. Someone in the chat's going to be like...
And I can't even cheat and look at my phone because it's in the living room.
It's not Bloodlines. Is it Bloodlines?
No.
No. Anyways, someone in the chat will get it. I don't know why I'm blanking right now.
Come on, fans, Laird. I know you guys are... I know you guys can tell us.
New Blood. There it is.
New Blood.
Thank you.
I knew it had blood in there.
So, New Blood... Once we finish New Blood from everybody, we're going to be doing a podcast on that for sure. I do want to do one on Broken Circle, so that would be down the line a little bit. But I am almost done with New Blood. I'll be done probably next week or so.
I've actually finished both of them up just this last week. So
nice. Yeah, I get started with Broken Circle and then stuff comes up. So I just need to book that out in a weekend or so and get it done. So back to what I was going to say, Halo Online is set on a secret UNSC space installation called Anvil, where Spartan 4 soldiers train together in war exercises to sharpen their battle skills and test experimental technology. And I know I've heard Anvil somewhere before. I just can't place it.
I'm thinking the same thing.
I've heard it before. And it's not just the code name that of one of Bungie's things. I've heard Anvil in the lore somewhere before. So if someone in the chat has that.
I think it was actually used as a code name somewhere in the lore.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Bungie used it as a code name for something during development.
No. I meant actually in the lore itself.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying code name, but I can't think. It sounds so familiar.
I know. I can't place it. Laird will probably have it, but so a lot of the info that we have from Halo Online is either in that Q&A or in the video, and there's lots of stuff in that video when it comes to the unlocks. And there are three maps that I recognized in there, and then there's two or three other maps that we don't know what they are yet, or I'm not sure what they are. The first one, I think that everyone who has seen the trailer recognizes, is Guardian. So that's an iconic Halo 3 map. Another one, which is more of a remake, is Turf from Halo 2. So that's in there. It's been all tech updated. And I've wanted a Turf remake for a while. So I'm really, really excited to see what they're doing with Turf. And just from the video, it looks like a lot of cool stuff already.
Definitely. I want to play these maps.
I know.
Give me as well.
So I will say I did go onto the website and register just to see if for some freak coincidence I do get into the beta somehow.
You're not the only one.
I think everybody did. At least talking with everybody, and I think everyone, at least all of us did. But if you go to ru.4games, and that's the number 4games.com/Halo, that is the official site for Halo Online. And you can go there, and there's actually a little interactive experience that you can check out. And it has some really cool Spartans with the armor that you'll be able to customize in there. You can click on certain like Oni eyes, and there's one for talking about the assault rifle, one talking about the energy sword that's in there. There's one talking about the Mjolnir armor, and then talking about the helmets and stuff in there as well. So head on over there and check that out if you haven't yet. It's actually a pretty cool interactive thing, and I've grabbed a couple of screenshots, which I'll throw up on the website in a little bit. Everyone in the chat saying Anvil is a missile.
Well, yeah, it was Anvil missile in Halo 4. That's the missile you launch at the very beginning, but it strikes me as being somewhere else as well. And, one of the guys in the chat also said Anvil was the forge for Marathon, which is true, but
I know that.
It just seems like I've seen it somewhere in the actual Halo lore, you know, not the name of a missile or something like that. I can't place it. I'll just have to do some digging and see if I can figure out where I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, everything on Google, I just did a Google search, is talking about Anvil 2 air-to-surface missile. So
yeah,
that might be it. But I thought it's a code name for something else somewhere, but I could be wrong, which I probably am. So on the website, go check it out. Of course, you have to do translate. So you can either do Google Translate from like Firefox or Safari or whatever web browser you do. But if you use Chrome, you can actually do the translate feature in Chrome, and then the interactive experience actually loads and all the text gets translated to whatever your local language is. So I know a lot of people listening to this podcast is probably English, but I do know we have some listeners out there that are not from the UK or US that are, I'm sure, speak other languages. So use Chrome for the best translation experience.
I recommend it. I tried it with Firefox and it did not work very well.
So there is a plugin that you can get that uses the Google Translate API.
And yeah, it doesn't work that well.
Oh, I mean, it works.
Don't get me wrong. It worked good for some of the stuff, but to get into the interactive part of it, I had to actually load up Chrome.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually in the interactive part now in Firefox, so I guess the plugin I found does work, but it does take out a couple of the elements. I wish I could get whatever, like, I don't know if this is Silverlight or Flash or what this is, but just the whole 3D part, it'd be cool to go in there and like just make a bunch of screenshots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Make sure you go check that out. And if you haven't seen our post that we have up on the website, there's a link to it there and also a link to the video. But some of the stuff that I found in the video was the loadouts that you can choose from, the weapons that you have options for. So in your loadouts, you have the BR, the AR, the DMR, the SMG, the plasma rifle, and the carbine. So those are the six primary weapons that you can choose from for your loadout. There's the secondaries, which is the Magnum, the plasma pistol, and the Mauler.
Ooh, Mauler is a secondary.
Yeah. Better than the bolt shot.
Talk about having a shotgun in your pocket.
Well, for the Mauler, you actually literally have to be right up on them unless they've modified that weapon. And even at point blank, I don't think a Mauler...
It usually took a shot in the melee.
Yeah. I think you literally had to be at point blank for a Mauler to possibly get a one hit kill. But other than that, it was usually shot melee, which is almost instantaneous, but not as ridiculous as the bolt shot by far.
Oh, yes, by far.
That weapon. Ugh. And then the grenades, you have the typical Halo 3 grenades. You have your frag, plasma, spike, and incendiary grenades that you can use. As far as the armor sets, there's lots of different armor in there. And if you want a detailed breakdown, because I haven't had a chance to look at every single armor variant, Ready Up Live has a good video that actually goes through each screen. So the part where they're fast forwarding through all the options, he basically pulled out each frame and talks about what armor sets we see for the arm pieces, for the helmets, for the legs, and all that stuff. So head on over there and check that out if you want to get all the details on that. But I do find it interesting that a lot of the stuff we're seeing in Halo Online, at least from what I've seen, is a good combination of recycled stuff from Halo 3, but also new things. So the maps that we've seen in there, which another one, which is something I forgot to mention, is Avalanche without snow.
Yeah, I missed that the first three times I watched it.
Yeah. That one, it's like, that map looks so familiar, and I just kept watching. It's like, yep, that the more and more I watched it, the more and more it looked like Avalanche without snow, because you have the bridge, and then you have the overhang, and that's part of Avalanche. And you can actually see the man cannon on the side too, that would shoot it into the middle. So it's clearly Avalanche without snow. And I like that. I think that kind of goes into my whole wanting of different environments for maps. Whether or not they keep the original variant in there, well, we'll have to see. I'll know what they're going to be doing as far as maps. I would assume that because this is a heavily modified Halo 3 engine, that they're going to be reusing a lot of the maps from Halo 3 in this experience.
I would think so as well. But seeing that it is a beta, I'm sure they're only going to have a few maps in there.
Right.
You know, maybe 6 to 8 maps.
Well, we saw, maybe 5 or 6 maps in the trailer. We saw Turf, we saw Guardian, we saw Snowless Avalanche. We saw a Forerunner one, which for some reason on the RUL post they said Construct, but it's not Construct. It's a Forerunner-esque design, but it's not Construct. And then there was one that was outdoors, the UNEC outdoors one, the ones that they had the panorama shots of the players standing in front of the warthogs and the archways. And that's not a map I've seen before.
It's nothing I recognized.
Yeah, nothing I recognize either. And there was one other scene in there. Remember the ramp one, the FFA ramp one? Where you had a green Spartan, 2 red Spartans, and the blue Spartan up on a ramp. Yeah. I don't know if that's part of Turf or if that's a different map.
You probably could call that either way, because there were some ramps in Turf.
So there was dirt. It was a dirt ground at the bottom of the ramp, and I don't really remember anywhere on Turf that would be that way, which is one of the reasons why I'm kind of leaning towards that's not Turf.
Yeah, I would have to watch it again. I plan on watching it a couple more times, because there were some details I missed earlier. Because I could have swore that was a concrete, that they were walking on, but I could have just mistook it.
So that is the only other map I can think of that really stood out as a separate map. So I think we're looking at a possibility of six maps. So Pins actually pointed out something. I'm not sure where he got this, but it sounds like this is basically what this game is. The Anvil Initiative. Number of select joint training arrangements between Spartan Fours and Sangheili, or the Swords of Sangheilios. And on the website, you can actually, if you do the translate, you'll see that it's supposed to be a training ground for testing new Mjolnir armor, UNSC, and Sangheili weapons. So it wouldn't surprise me if we saw basically elites come to this. And I'm not sure if I saw elites in the gameplay, but I could have sworn there was a couple times I did. At least it looked that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just the armor, because we did have that armor in the Halo 5 beta that was the Sangheili-inspired armor, so I don't know if that's something that's in there, or if what I saw was actually elites.
Yeah, with the new armor permutations that they've got in there, with the right angle and such, you could probably mistake a Spartan for an elite.
Right. And one of the places was actually on that ramp. Like, the one guy that was standing still at the top of the ramp, it looks like an elite from the shield flare.
Yeah.
It looks like it. So I'm not sure, but since it's Halo 3's engine that's the basis for this, and since Halo 3 had elites in it, I don't see why they wouldn't have elites in there.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Another thing that I saw in the video was kind of like an ODST visor mode.
Yeah, I was thinking a visor mode or a twist on the Promethean vision.
So there was two distinct parts. I can't remember the first one, but the second one was when the guy was coming up Gold Lift on Guardian and it had the red outline. So, I mean, to your point, I don't know if that's PV or ODST's visor mode. I kind of lean more towards the visor mode, because the visor mode is, or ODST is based off the Halo 3 engine, so that's probably a little more easy to implement.
Yeah, it would make more sense to with the Halo 3 engine, since both games were built off the same engine.
Right, and the Halo the other scene from that I'm thinking of had the outlines of the visor mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another, and I have to go look at the video again, because I've only watched it like four times or so, which isn't enough to solidify it in your head, obviously.
No, I actually just ran through that clip, and as the guy's coming up the lift, you can see him. You can see the red blob like the PV, and then when he comes out, then he's got kind of a red tint over him. So,
yeah,
it maybe it's just a cross between them.
Could be. That's a good point. So, I don't know. You definitely saw a lot of the equipment that we've seen in Halo 3. So, you saw the energy drainer. You saw the bubble shield.
Didn't see the flare.
I didn't see the flare. Didn't see the radar jammer. Didn't see the regen. What else was in there? Didn't see a trip mine. I think that was it.
Yeah. Did see a hornet.
Yeah. There were hornets. There was warthogs. I think that was the only vehicles that we saw, right?
Or was there a mongoose? Just the warthog and the hornet.
The hornet, yeah. But it doesn't mean that we won't see other vehicles in the game either. So my assumption is right now that the heavy modifications they're doing to Halo 3 is just for compatibility with lower PCs, and I'm going to assume, which I know assuming is bad, but I'm going to assume that a lot of the abilities and the weapons and the vehicles and all that stuff that we've seen in Halo 3 in the past are going to be in this game in some way, shape, or form. So all the vehicles will probably still be in there. All the weapons will still be in there. I mean, I think I saw just about every single Halo 3 weapon in that game. Saw all the human weapons, although the DMR is a new addition to the Halo 3 engine. There's the beam rifle in there. There was the brute shot in there. The Mauler we know is in there. Assuming the shotgun is in there, because every game has had the shotgun.
Actually, this the spot on turf where you see the warthog come around the corner, it blows up.
Yeah.
If you look down at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, right by the bubble shield, there's a shotgun laying on the ground.
Okay, so there's a shotgun. And again, I haven't analyzed this frame by frame yet. But then we haven't seen, although we may have seen an effect of it, rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel rod gun, flamethrower. Is that it? Needler. Well, we know the needler is in there. They actually, 4Games released another video on their YouTube channel today of a holographic needler display that they had up. So we know that's in there. And I think that's a Spartan laser. That's it. So I think it's just those four.
Oh, gravity hammer. You missed the gravity hammer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So those five, I guess. Spartan laser, gravity hammer, rocket launcher, fuel rod gun. And what was the other one?
Don't know. Forgot.
Great. Anywho. Oh, spike. There's a spiker. We haven't seen a spiker. There's a fifth one, spiker.
Ah.
So those, I'm assuming, are in there still, and that we just haven't seen them in the gameplay trailer.
True.
I think that covers most of the stuff for this. I know that we're going to probably get some more information about this over time. If we get the... So another thing that I found funny about this was all the video, the gameplay video, was in English. So it's obvious that it's like it has the development focus here of 343. So I find it hard to believe that it's not going to be, or there's not plans for releasing it in the US or the UK or those kinds of countries in the future.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. You know, in the trailer, anything that's in game is in English. The only thing that's actually in Russian is the little splashes between the different game clips.
Right.
You know.
And the website.
Well, yeah, on the website. But I mean, as far as the trailer itself.
Right. Another thing I saw in the video, kind of as a, not exactly an Easter egg, but the build code name was El Dorado.
El Dorado.
Yeah, of all things. So if you looked at the UI when it was going through the armor select and the weapon select, under the news, it said, "Welcome to the closed alpha test of El Dorado." I'm not sure why they're using a Spanish phrase for a Russian build or a Russian-focused game.
Why did Bungie use Blam?
Blam is more generic than El Dorado.
Any code name is generic when you can apply it to something like something as different as, you know, El Dorado and Halo. I mean, it's just, I guess somebody likes the song El Dorado. I don't know.
Or the movie.
Or the movie.
Yeah. Was there anything else in that video to really touch up on? There wasn't much I could think of.
No, I think we pretty much covered it all. Yeah, we've got the amount of customization, the maps. Yeah. I think we pretty much got it all.
Cool. There's some pretty interesting assets if you go on the website. There's a really cool piece of art. Did you see the one where the Spartan was kind of standing back with that really funky-shaped energy sword?
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think that was... if they had that in a bigger size, I'd definitely make that my wallpaper. or add it to my like revolving backdrops that I have.
Yeah.
Because there's some pretty cool things that you can just find on the website to download and kind of add. So there's a couple other images, too, that if you've seen our Twitter feed recently, we've kind of put up tweeting about Halo Online. And there's a horizontal image and a vertical image for Halo Online up there. And we'll probably make a post about that soon.
Horizontal and vertical, right?
Vertical, horizontal. Yeah. It's been a long week. For those who don't know, I was in Denver for a few days for work. So.
Ooh, Denver.
That's why there was no news on the website for 4 days, and that's why there hasn't been a post about Hunt the Truth yet.
Well, if I'd known you were in Denver, I would have drove out there this weekend.
How close are you to Denver?
About 10 hours.
I wouldn't make you drive 10 hours just to come see me when we're going to see each other at RTX.
Well, we could have stayed at your grandma's house, so I could have saved you a hotel.
Does your grandmother live in Denver?
Yeah, actually, she does.
Well, the government was paying for the hotel anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Well, save our tax dollars that they'll waste on something else. But anyway.
Yeah. Taking a look at the announcement trailer again real quick just to see if there's anything I missed. But I will say that Turf is looking awesome. That is one of the maps I'm looking forward to. Actually, one other map that I'm watching it now that didn't know or didn't really comment on before was, remember the little platforms that were raising up?
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
I don't know if that was part of the Forerunner map or if it's a separate map on its own.
That looks like a separate map.
It feels like a separate map.
It says Uanna Sea right there on the barrels on the left-hand side. Or the wall, and then, you know, the two, you know, on the wall on the left-hand side, the little circular
pieces.
Oh, yeah,
good point.
And, you know, that's definitely a human construction that's broken.
That could be part of that bigger map.
Could be.
The one with the kind of the panorama views. That mm-hmm. might be that. There's some other interesting UI changes, too. So the hit markers, it's like an expanding red thing around your reticle. So instead of the white crosshairs kind of turned at an angle for a hit marker, mm-hmm. it's these red things that kind of emanate out from your reticle whenever you get a hit. So that's, I thought that was kind of an interesting take on hit markers, because it seems a little more like, I know the white splash markers is kind of typical for PC shooters, but that kind of expanding red marker, and every weapon has its, looks like it has its own style of hit marker, has that hit marker there, and it just seems to flow a little bit more with the UI. So I thought that was a cool change that they put in there. And then the waypoints have been updated a little bit. Allies have green text over their head, and enemies still have the red text, so the green text is a change.
Yeah.
See if there's anything else in here. Oh, there's the hammer. Okay, saw the hammer. Oh, the brute plasma pistol. Forgot about that. That's in there. And the mounted machine gun turret. So that is pretty much everything from what we've seen in the video and then the post that 343 made about the game when they announced it earlier. The more and more I look at that ramp, the more and more I actually think it is Turf. So I think that is probably 5 maps, not 6. Anywho, this is something I hope we get to see lots of footage out of the beta. I hope this is something that people can talk about when it comes out, because I would really like to see what they're doing with this and what the specs will be to require to run this game. Because if it's actually something that they're toning down to play on lower-end PCs, that just gets more people on the PC market to play.
Oh, definitely. To have, you know, the way that they're billing it, it sounds like they're going to really want the, you know, the people with the entry level PCs to be able to play this, you know, entry level PCs, probably, you know, with moderate to slow, well, lower end, high speed connections, you know, 1 megabyte, 1.5 megabyte connection. So, you know, it looks like they probably want to build this game to where it's really easy for just about anybody to get into it.
So the thing about like most of the video games that you see, at least on the 360, is that the bandwidth itself isn't really that great. It's more, the effect is ping, and mm-hmm. like the bandwidth usage is under, I think, like 300K. So it's really not that much.
Yeah, I never knew what the specs were on, you know, the multiplayer for the 360, and I just have barely touched the specs in like Xbox One.
Right. So to support one of your claims earlier, most of the clips I've seen, they do have the PV icon down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I you're probably dead on with the PV. There's a sprint meter around the radar. So there is sprint for all the sprint haters out there.
Oh, and somebody suggested earlier in the chat that the gun that I was looking at that was a light rifle was the beam rifle. And yes, you are correct. I mistook the reticle.
Yeah. And I don't know what to think of this yet. I think it's a an interesting change, but the medals actually pop up underneath your health meter instead of the kill feed. It's a lot more prominent now than it was before. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, the difference between like the Halo 3 and the Halo 4 medals is the Halo 3 had the pop. Like everyone was kind of distinct in terms of like the color and the textures. So it was a lot easier to notice what medals you were getting and having up in the kill feed. It looks like a good portion of the medals, and maybe this is just the build, but they're the Halo 4 medals that pop up in the top. So they're bigger and they're the Halo 4 ones. So I'm not sure how I feel about them being that prominent up there at the top near health. I kind of like them small and near the kill feed where it's like they kind of expand and then contract down, kind of like it pops. So you know what you got, but it's not really mm-hmm. obtrusive. So I'm not sure what to think about that yet.
I'm going to have to watch this video real closely on that ramp because that almost looks like a hologram popping.
It kind of does. Yeah, I was thinking something similar, but
it reacts to fire, and that's what
got me
puzzled.
And it turns.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, it's definitely moving.
Well, it doesn't move, it turns. So I'm not sure.
Well, I meant it actually squats down at one point.
Is that squatting down, or is that it like dying and then coming back from like a network update? Because
I don't know. I'm going to have to go into this thing frame by frame. I can't quite do that with Media Player.
Yeah, and that was the one where I thought it might have been an Elite.
Yeah, I can see where you could see Elite. Because it actually kind of, you know, if the knee was straighter, because you can see the knee is bent forward.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't, the character doesn't have the big ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Spartan, but I can see where you can get Elite out of it.
Just from the head, yeah.
Yeah, with the helmet on it.
Right. And who knows what other armor pieces that they have in here that we just didn't see in the video.
True.
Another thing I saw going back through here is the Sentinel Beam. We missed that one. So that's in there, too. The blue Sentinel Beam. And I think that's pretty much it. There's a couple other UI things. So on Guardian, there's a warning sign for something. I haven't been able to quite figure out what the text underneath it says.
Something detected.
So I'm not sure. And is it just me, or does the shield flares look a lot more prominent in here? Or it's like you can...
Oh, yeah, the shield flares definitely stand out.
Yeah, you see the shields a lot more.
Visor detected.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it looks like. VISR.
So instead of the little audio cue you get a visual cue as well. That's nifty.
At least that's what it looks like. It's still kind of blurry.
That's okay. Well, no, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would make sense to have something like that. But I don't know. Everything looks pretty cool. I'll say that.
It looks really cool.
I am looking forward to this. I mean it. Most of it is Halo 3. You can tell that everything is there. I'm looking through the kind of armor abilities that they have there. I see Promethean Vision. I see Hologram. There is a shield-looking one, which I'm guessing is maybe like a shield boost, possibly. Was there a shield icon?
Shield boost or...
Was there a shield icon thing in Halo 4? For any kind of armor ability?
No, just overshield.
Okay.
Well, not for an ability. That was a pickup, or a drop. But no, the only shield thing they had in Halo 4 was that regen's bubble.
Hmm. But no, that was Halo Reach, the regen bubble.
No, you've got that in Halo 4 too.
Really?
Yeah, the green bubble.
Why am I blinking on this?
Because they have a perk that
causes your reach. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot about that. That's right. So it might be that. And looking at the video too,
I think I just found my new wallpaper.
It looks like you can have four of them. So if you go through the video, you'll see the 1, 2, 3, 4 on the bottom. And those are probably assigned to the number keys. So it looks like you can have four of those abilities at once.
Wow.
Possibly. That would be crazy. Well, again, this is on the PC. I think the PC is a good platform to test this stuff. I think it's going to work work really well. And if it's anything like TF2 or I guess kind of Titanfall in a way as well, I think it'll work just fine as long as... and it seems like they've done a pretty good job of kind of not necessarily singling it out, but distinguishing it from the rest of the Halo multiplayer games. It seems like they're kind of gearing this as its own experience, which it is. And I would be perfectly happy to play it. And I feel that this is more geared towards kind of the casual PC first-person shooter player, but I can see where you can really get into it and you just... there's a lot more room for just kind of getting in and playing for fun, where it's not really heavily focused on competitive like we will see with the console games, like with Halo 5. Like all this stuff...
Well, I could see where this could go competitive as well.
So you couldn't really do competitive unless you like set certain... like you can only use certain things. And that was one of the things with Halo 4 is when they went through and chose which armor abilities you could use or that should be used. So it definitely could, but I think when it comes to competitive multiplayer for Halo, they're going to be focusing on the Xbox titles for Halo.
Oh, I'm sure. But it doesn't mean, you know, an outside body wouldn't try to use it for competitive.
That's true.
Maybe not in this country, but in other countries, you know, around here, you know, the competitive PC gaming is generally more in a different genre of games. I haven't seen a whole lot of first person shooter type, contest for PC, but don't get me wrong, I don't follow it that closely. So there could be 500 of them out there and I wouldn't know about it. But, you know, as far as stuff that would, it's popped up in front of me, most of the stuff I see is like, games like League of Legends and, games of that style.
Right. I could see a competitive thing coming out of this if they're gearing it towards that way. But from a 343 standpoint, we're not going to see this really competitive. Although it would be interesting to see if you could set up somehow vanilla Halo 3 and go. Because this is what I've been wanting for a while, is Halo back on PC, and this is the multiplayer, pretty much, for Halo 3, which would be great to have on the PC.
Definitely.
There you go.
Definitely. The one thing I do hope that it supports is custom matches. If a group of people want to get together and just play, that they can do that. Because I've noticed that in the last two iterations of the game on console, at least as far as on matchmaking side, they limit your lobbies. And if this is a purely matchmaking game, I would hope that they would allow you larger lobbies. That's another thing. I wonder what the player count limit's going to be on like the bigger maps.
So we saw 6-on-6 at least. And I don't know what everyone's internet is like over in Russia, but if it's any trend, it's probably better than the US in terms of for price. So I would assume bandwidth is probably not as much of an issue. I mean, obviously the more players you have, the more processing power that you need to do on your end still, but
true.
I think I don't see why they wouldn't do a normal 16-on-16, but on the PC, it does give the possibility of increasing that game, that player count, seeing how it plays. And obviously, you wouldn't do this on like Guardian or Turf, because those are kind of designed a little bit more for smaller plays. But
you'd need a map like Infinity or something like that off of a CE,
right?
To get I honestly think 64 players on that map, you'd still have trouble finding people.
Yeah. I would say for online, though, it's probably going to be... the beta would most likely be matchmaking only kind of thing. But since it is a PC title, if they go the route of TF2, then while you can still host games from your own computer, most of the time for TF2, you're going into a server. You're going into a dedicated server.
Mm-hmm.
There is times where you could, depending on how 343 and Saber and whatever the other company is, however this game is designed to play, it could be a couple of different things. It could be that you might be able to set up your own server. If they have the software installation for you to do that, or if they decide to go mm-hmm. the Battlefield route where you have to rent your own server or you have to use dedicated servers, which I don't see 343 going down that route. I'd see the possibilities is you'll either be able to create your own game from your from a server and then do the online multiplayer through dedicated servers, or it's just going to be dedicated servers only. Because again, if this is designed for lower end PCs, you're not going to have that lower end PC hosting a game. This is
right.
And you're going to want to offload as much of that computational power as possible to something else. So my bet is on that there's going to be, if there is going to be any custom games at all, this is going to have to be set up on a server. Whether or not that's a dedicated server on the Azure cloud through Xbox Live, or if this is going to be something where you can stand up your own server, I think that's the piece that's up in the air.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's just, you know, it's one of the things I'm curious about. You know, are custom games going to be supported as far as, you know, maybe not necessarily, you know, custom made games, but just, you know, you've got a group of people you like playing with and you can all get together and play.
Right.
You know, like we used to be able to in Halo CE and Halo 2, where, you know, if we had 16 people, we could go on to the actual Halo servers and do matchmaking. And it would just automatic, you know, it would load the games for us.
So, yeah, even though matchmaking in Halo 2 Vista really isn't matchmaking in the sense of...
Well, I was talking PC or console, but...
Yeah, but match... I thought you said Halo 2 PC.
No, well, I said Halo 2.
Oh, okay.
But since we're talking we're talking PC, I can see where you got
brain
that.
Didn't make the transition.
No, I mean, it's like, you know... sorry. But, you know, it's like on the console games, well, on the three early ones, they didn't have player limits as far as on the matchmaking. You know, you could go in with a full team of 16 or a full team, you know, full group of 8. And, you know, you could play matchmaking and you could let the servers decide what match you were going to play. You know, where now if you have anything over the recommended player cap or the player cap for each playlist, well, you have to go into custom games and then you have to set the games up yourself, which don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with that, but it's kind of nice to occasionally just kind of go on autopilot, you know, hit the big team button and just go.
Yeah.
So I just hope they have support in there for that. And I just can't wait to see some gameplay out of this.
This is going to be good. Well, I mean, we've already seen some gameplay, but some actual, like, full gameplay would be good. So that's going to be it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the live stream, for those that did. We're going to be talking about some of the other news from this week, this weekend. So we'll talk about the Hunt the Truth ARG that's going on right now. And then there's some other stuff that we need to kind of catch up on as well. Cannon fodder and a couple other smaller things that we've since missed since we did our last podcast. So we'll be catching up on that here pretty soon. For those of you that are in the live stream, thanks again for coming. And I'll reiterate, for those who downloaded us, we record live on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can head on over to our Twitch channel and watch us live as we record. You can also check out our game nights, which is on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'll be there tomorrow, so you'll be happy about that, I think.
Cool.
I'll be the first one I've made in, what, 3 weeks? Something like that?
We won't actually say that on the podcast because you might upset me.
Hey, sometimes life just throws you lemons.
You've been a busy, busy person.
Yeah. Anyways, there's going to be the couple of podcasts that, so we're going to be doing 5 podcasts in a matter of a week. Gosh, that's going to be crazy. I just now realize that. So we're going to be doing a lot more podcasts regarding the lore. So we're going to have a New Blood podcast probably in 2-3 weeks. We'll have Broken Circle one coming up and all those things. So if there's anything that you want us to particularly talk about, let us know. Drop us a line on Twitter, on Facebook, or in the forums. Any of those places work. We know lore has been a big topic for a while, so we are going to be moving towards that very soon. As far as some of the other social networks you can check us out on, we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, which we're going to be having a new video up there very soon, thanks to Godzilla Todd. He has his next installment of Achieving Halo, which is a good little series for you guys to get the most out of your campaign achievement runs. So definitely check those out. That'll be up on the YouTubes this weekend. And of course, we have the forums. So if you guys could head on over there, you can go to podtogether.com/forums and participate in discussions there. We would be most appreciative and appreciate the support as well. That wraps it up for us tonight as Bio enters the chat room. As we're wrapping up, way to go, Bio.
Bio shows up and we leave.
Yeah, good timing on that one. But he should be on tomorrow when we talk about the Hunt for Truth, which I know he really wanted to talk about. And a lot of people want to hear what's going on. And yeah, just there's a lot of stuff in there that we're going to be talking about. Really good stuff. So thanks again for everyone coming over and listening to us live or downloading us on iTunes or Zune or any of those other podcast aggregators. Really appreciate it. Make sure you check out our podcast network, thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com, where you can find other podcasts like Critscast, Guardian Radio, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. And there is a new podcast on the network. It is, I think, the Learning Channel, something like that. I'm looking it up right now. But it's an EVE Online podcast, of all things. So I have honestly never played EVE Online. I have never had an interest in EVE.
I think it's the first time I've heard of EVE Online.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey, man, I'm a console gamer. I don't do PC games.
Gotcha. It's the Learning Cliff. So I had the first letter of the last word right, but it's Learning Cliff.
Yeah, there you go.
So we welcome them to the podcast network. I have some listening to do for them. They're on episode 8 right now. So they just got their start a couple months ago. So head on over there if you somehow, well, not that makes it sound really depressing. If you somehow play EVE Online, if you're interested in EVE Online, or if you play EVE Online, then there's another podcast for you to listen to. So I will definitely go and give it a listen this week. But congratulations, fellow podcasters, for joining the podcast network. And that'll be it for us tonight. Thanks, everyone, again. And until next time, keep on fragging heavily modified Halo 3.